Yes, people, we are about to get, at our cinemas, another episode of Mission Impossible from the Reverend Tom Cruise. Sorry, the irreverent Tom Cruise. Do you know something? Every one of these is a huge box office success. Was the last one number seven or is this one number seven? I don't know, but seven I think they've done so far. Every one of them has made a billion or more. It's a huge box office success. Lots of opportunity. And it all goes back to Peter Graves in the 70s when they had the Mission Impossible TV series, which ran for 7 years. And Mr. Spock was in it as well. Leonard Nimoy, he played one of the agents. And it's been carrying on since then. It's a huge spying thing, if you haven't watched any of it. But if you haven't seen any of it, I'm amazed. Because it just pops up everywhere. But you know something? That I know somebody other than Tom Cruise who's really good at impossible missions. Yep. You know, Tom Cruise actually does an awful lot of the stunts in these movies.
And 23 bones.
Thank you. I didn't know that. 23 bones is broken in Mission Impossible. This is just absolutely astonishing. But when you see him leaping out of an aircraft, it really is him. And I don't know how they insure him through it. But one of these days he's going to jump out something and bounce, I think. It really is quite a shocking thing. But what he is trying to get you to visualise on the screen is that he can pull off stunts that are literally impossible. Now, Paul tells us in his letter to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Now that was an impossible mission, but Jesus pulled it off. Now, that glorious photo up there, which I know many of you are saying, please, can I order a 10x5 now? That's up there because I don't have a picture of the Apostle Paul. No, that's up there because when I say those words, see, I woke up in the night this week, one night, can't remember which it was, with this verse going through my head, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when I hear that, I don't think about the Apostle Paul. I think about me. I think about me. You see, to me, I'm the worst of them. And I think having an attitude like that is not supercilious. It's not ridiculous. It's not overkill. I think that's the sort of attitude we should have. That we should recognise that our sin has offended God. Now, sin has become a bad word. It really has. People don't use it any longer. We don't talk about sin very much, except perhaps in church. Yeah. And if I'm absolutely honest with you, there are some churches you don't hear it said anymore.
Yeah.
It may be a bad word to some people in society, but it's a word that God uses. And God has this message for us today. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Yep.
Now you might say to me, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, that's okay, but Christ didn't come to save you then. You have no hope if you're not a sinner. Because Christ came to save sinners.
That's right.
And only sinners can have hope.
Yeah?
Yeah? And we need to get that in our heads. If we will only accept our natural sinfulness, we can also accept God's great gift of forgiveness. And it sets us free, people. It really does. It sets us free. It might seem like a bad word to some, but do you know what? We shouldn't be afraid to admit when we've done something wrong. The world has moved on a lot in the last 19 years. But 19 years ago, I was still working for PC World, and I'd had a 21-year career in customer services. And I knew what it was like to serve people who were angry and irate. And you know what? I always found it was very enabling for me to turn to the customer and say, "I'm really sorry. I want you to know that I take personal responsibility." I'm not sure that I would have been allowed to say that now, because the world has moved on and nobody takes responsibility anymore. And not many people are even sorry. We had a new fridge delivered the other week, and the front was kicked in on the way to our house, and we're still getting them to try and replace it. And it's 3 weeks now. And it works fine, but it's got a great big hole in the front. And you know what? I'm not getting irate about anything, and I'm not kicking off about anything right now, but it does demonstrate that people are very loath to accept personal responsibility. And what we should be are leaders in demonstrating the ability to take responsibility for our own sin. You see, I'm not asking you to take responsibility for your own sin so that you can sort it out, because there's nothing you can do. But Christ came into the world to save sinners, and all we have to do is accept our own failure and come to Christ and say, "God, I'm really sorry." And you know what? It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. When I take my sin to the cross of Jesus Christ, I walk away with nothing other than the blessing of God. And that's a good thing to walk away with. My Bible tells me that when I repent of my sin, He is gracious to forgive my sin. And that means everything to me and to those of us that follow Christ. And all I'm saying to you is, let's not get caught up with the spirit of this world, which says, "Well, sin is nothing we recognise anymore." We don't want to get to that point. We need to recognise that sometimes saying sorry is very powerful. You see, the Bible says this: all have sinned, and therefore all fall short of the glory of God. Yeah. And it's pretty much the end of the story if you leave it there in verse 23 of Romans 3. Except there is more to the story. Paul lists some bad things in 1 Timothy. This is a list of the ones that Bill read out to us. Lawlessness, rebellion, patricide, killing your mum or dad, murder, sexual immorality, homosexuality, kidnapping, liars, perjurers. Do you know what? If I was to look down that list now, I would suggest to you society probably only takes two of those as sin: kidnapping and murder. If you put a pillow over your mother's head when she's 84 because you think she's in pain. I think some people are even getting away with that now. Sexual immorality, well, it's whatever turns you on, isn't it? All these list of things, one by one, society is saying, we can live with that. That's okay. But Paul couldn't live with it. And let me say to you, the world that Paul lived in, you can't say it was a wonderful world compared to ours. In fact, it might even have been a worse world than ours. I mean, when it comes to homosexuality, you might think that's something we discovered in the 60s. But you know, homosexuality, male homosexuality, was incredibly common in the first century. Amongst the Roman citizens, and Paul was a Roman citizen, homosexuality was very common. Female homosexuality was not quite so common. But you know, it was a very common thing. And yet Paul says, I have a problem with that because God has a problem. Now, I think it's really important as a church that we don't single out sin. Do you know what? One of the worst sins I have ever encountered in church has been gossip. It's not on that list, is it? It isn't. Gossip's a killer. It is toxic, yes. And you know what? Some sins that we think as not much can be very, very powerful. And we have to recognise on that list that each one of those has a negative impact on our society, whether we think it does or not. What we shouldn't do is allow the pride that our nation seems to show in being able to sin in some of these ways. Like, for example, perhaps people in the House of Commons lying liberally and getting away with it, it would appear. And yet, do we just accept that? Well, let me tell you this. We are not the judge. God is the judge. And Jehovah has the final say. Yeah? He will have the final say. It's not us. And we should not become a people that rant about everything. You know those people because you know some of them. All you have to do is say anything and they have a rant about it. God deliver us from being ranters. We should not be always having a really good go at people or at groups because of their sin. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst.
Yep.
If we remember that, it helps us not to be judgmental of others that are bad too.
Yep.
Here's three more. These sins, blasphemer, persecutor, and arrogant, these three sins are what Paul sees in himself. He was a blasphemer because he said, Jesus is nothing. Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the Messiah. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He went round making life hell for people who went to church. And it says this in a language that we don't quite get in the 21st century, but it says he looked after the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. Stephen, the first martyr, the first Christian martyr, killed purely because he worshipped Jesus. What does it mean? It means that when they stone someone to death, they strip themselves naked. And so somebody who looked after your coat, he facilitated the stoning. Paul may actually have brought a few stones with him and put them there. Give me your coat, pick up a stone. Paul was the person that made that stoning happen. And he puts this other sin on the list, which is one of those sins. It's a bit like gossip. We don't think much of it, really. We don't think it's a big deal, but arrogance. I tell you, arrogance is really easy to slip into. One minute, you'd be a really nice person. The next minute, you're being arrogant. And I've put up there other sins are available. You know, you have to do that these days. But these three things he sees in himself, and he's saying, look, these are the evidence that I am the worst sinner. Now, I'm not saying today, let's go round the room and tell me why you're the worst sinner, because quite honestly, I don't need to know that. I don't really want to know that. But what I am saying is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and us having an attitude that recognises that we are one of them that he came to save is not a bad attitude to have. It's better than being arrogant. Yeah. And if we can just recognise there are a lot of bad things in this world, and we can't write them all off and say, well, that's not bad anymore. Our society might welcome sin that was not welcome 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But what matters is that we, as Christians, should not welcome that sin, but we should recognise that we also were sinners. And sometimes we still fail. And we still need the Christ who came into the world to save sinners. And the good news is that Christ came and he performed this sacrificial act that we remember when we break bread and drink wine together. And that sealed the deal. There is a perfect deliverance for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. It's all we've got to do. It's just like it says in John chapter 3, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What does that mean? I remember I was about 10 years old in Sunshine Corner, and I was asked this question. They did a quiz of the week. And as a 10-year-old, that was my question. What did Jesus mean? Well, I got it all wrong, because I was only 10. But I'll tell you what it meant. It meant that just as God said to Moses, look, stick this bronze serpent in the air, and everybody that's laid down in the tent dying of snake bites, all they've got to do is open one eye, look out the tent window and look up, and they will be saved. It's not a hard thing. They didn't even need anybody to carry them somewhere. Maybe they needed turning over in bed so they could lean out the door, look out the door. But you know, it really was an easy thing, and Christ has done the same thing. He's been lifted up on a cross. The Bible said, cursed is he who is nailed to a tree. Jesus was cursed that we might come under the blessing of God. And that one act by Jesus, all we've got to do is call on his name. Just as the snake bite victim, all he had to do was look at the serpent. All we've got to do is look to Jesus. We've just got to call out his name. And our sins are dealt with. I think that is an amazing deliverance. God is so good to us. Christianity is not about the sin. It's not about me standing on this chair saying, you're sinners! You know Whitfield, great preacher of the 19th century, was it? 18th century? It was of a century. He was a preacher one century. He used to stand in the street, and he did this in York Marketplace once. And he pointed his finger. He put on a judge's black cap that they put on when they used to give the death penalty. Put it on, and he started pointing, and it says, he said, I condemn you. And people started running down the front. And the writing says about over 100 people ran out to him in York Marketplace. And he led them to Christ. No one tells you that ever happened in York, do they? It's an amazing thing. But I'm not even saying to you that we should stand there pointing out people's sin. God forbid. Look, I don't think we should be standing outside abortion clinics. I think we should just be very kind to people that are pregnant and don't want a pregnancy. And that we should show them the love of Christ. And if they want some advice, we should give them good advice.
Yeah.
I don't think that we should be having a counter demonstration on Pride Day next Saturday in York. I don't think we should. But there again, neither do I think we should be out there rejoicing with them, because I am not proud of my sin. I'm ashamed of my sin. But Christ has lifted the shame, because he's taken away the sin, the guilt, he's taken away its impact on my life, and he has put into my life something that's so wonderful.
Amen.
You know, I meet a lot of men in ministry. Well, I say a lot because that makes it sound like it's a real lot, but I do meet men in ministry who are attracted to same-sex partners. I remember meeting Cy Rogers. Cy Rogers, he speaks a bit camply. And he said, on my first meeting, speaking to a group of us, and he said, you may think that I speak like I'm a bit camp. Well, you would have said that 20 years ago when I was stood on the docks wearing a dress. And he has a fantastic testimony of how God turned his life around. And he sits there with his wife and his daughter. And I heard from him when he walked his daughter down the aisle and gave her away at a wedding. You know what? God's done a fantastic thing in his life. Wesley Hill, who did his PhD at Durham. Wes Hill is a great theologian, a great man of God. But he is the first person to admit, look, guys, I struggle with same-sex attraction. But like so many people, he has chosen a life of celibacy. And he says it like it is. He says, God has called us all to be celibate outside of marriage. You know, we aren't saying anything about gay people that we don't say about straight people. Sex is something that God has made for marriage.
Yes.
And I know our society has a very different view, but it's had a very different view all my life. And we aren't pointing out anybody's error. We've had couples in this church over the years, some of them who've sinned. We've had singles who've sinned. We don't stand them up and point them out. We don't make a big deal about anything. But you know what? We encourage them. And when they want to repent, we repent with them, and we just rejoice that God has set them free. You know what? We shouldn't make it a big deal, because gossip is just as bad. Anyway. So Romans goes on to say, so we've already said it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It goes on to say, For the wages of that sin is death. So it makes it even worse, doesn't it? So everybody sinned, everybody dies, basically. But, and I love buts in the Bible. I love, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, everybody's sinned, everybody dies, but God gives a free gift to everybody who calls on the name of Jesus. Eternal life.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. This is great. This is the glory.
Yeah.
And Christianity is not about the sin. It's about the glory. It's not about how bad the sin is. Oh, you know, when I was a kid, we used to get people coming to church as testimonies for the week. Testimony of the week. Yeah. And people would stand up there and they would say things. And you think, can this even be true? I mean, this is a bit of a hyperbole on my part, but people would come and say, I used to be a mass murderer. People would come out with things that were almost ludicrous. But they had done so much sin, and I don't know if we invited them because it made us all feel better because we hadn't done any of them really gross things. But you know what? It's not about their sin. The message we were supposed to get from them, which I'm sure is what they meant to convey, is that, look at the glory.
Yeah.
I was in such a state, but Jesus set me free. Okay. This man on the screen now is working for Battelle. Battelle of Britain. Battelle, a fantastic Christian organisation who work with drug addicts. He looks happy, doesn't he? He is happy because he was totally, he had a huge drug problem in his life, and he has been totally set free by going to Battelle and doing, amongst other things, making furniture. Thank God for that man.
Yeah.
He's got a good salvation. And you know what? You don't have to have been a drug addict. You don't have to have been sexually immoral. You don't have to have been a murderer to get a good salvation. You just have to recognise that you were a sinner and Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. And so you too share in the good salvation. You know, it's not about having your name on the list. Oh, I can point at that list. I did at least 7 of them. You know, it's not about, oh, 10 commandments. I broke 11 of them. You know, it's not about how bad we've been. It's about how good our salvation is.
Yeah.
And this morning, let's get a good balance in our heads on this. Let's not go around pointing fingers, looking at people and saying, you know what I mean? We don't have to be doing that. What we do have to be doing is recommending Jesus.
Yep.
You know, June tells me about what she says to her hairdresser. And all we need to do is say things to our hairdresser, to our window cleaner, to the person we're at school with, at college with, at uni with, at work with, people that we meet. All we have to do is recommend Jesus, because he really has made a difference in our lives, hasn't he?
Right.
Thank God. So, in Luke, it says, those who heard Jesus asked, then who can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. We don't need Tom Cruise to do a Mission Impossible for us. Jesus has done it. How can we be saved? How can God save us? Do you know what salvation can happen in an instant? Sometimes it can be a process. Sometimes we have to look back and say, you know what, God has really saved me. But I went on a bit of a journey. What matters is that we start on that journey. What matters is that we recognise that that which may not seem possible to us is possible to Jesus of Nazareth, to our God, to the Holy Spirit. It is possible because nothing shall be impossible to God. We should only refer to our sin to point out the glory. Don't be sat there bragging, well, you know, I used to be a sinner. I tell you what, most of us probably still are. But we have had been translated. We no longer live under the kingdom of sin. We live under the kingdom of God. And we are no longer damned to sin forever. We are blessed to live forever. And that's the good news. That's the good news. We should always point out the glory. So, will you pray with me? Come on. Lord, we come to you in the glorious name of Jesus. And we just say, thank you for calling us to follow you. Lord, we pray that we would not be blasphemers, that we might not be arrogant, that we might not be persecutors like Paul was. But God, we ask you that we should not be relishing our past, but that we should be relishing our deliverance from the past, and that we should be rejoicing every day as we walk the narrow way, as we walk with you, knowing your goodness. And we want to say, Lord, we see your glory. We've seen your glory here this morning. We thank you that you've really turned up, and we appreciate that. But Lord, we just pray right now that you would help us to be good testimonies of the goodness of God in the land of the living. We pray that you would help us to be testaments to your glory, that we should be a bit like Moses, who walked out everywhere and he shone. Lord, we pray that we would all shine, and that we might represent the goodness of God to our communities, to our families, in our workplaces, in our streets. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.